Between Two Worlds, the radio ministry of Presbyterian Evangelistic Fellowship evangelist Al Baker, exists to stir up an intolerable burden for truth, biblical revival in America and beyond, believing that the American church is in desperate need of revival. Between Two Worlds is a daily 15-minute program designed to instruct and challenge you to seek God for a mighty movement of the Spirit in our day.
My friends, we must have revival in our day, or our nation is doomed. I honestly believe that. And what do I mean by revival? Well, revival is spoken of in Psalm 85. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine indignation toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou prolong thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not thyself revive us again, that all thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy loving kindness and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will say. He will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Show us thy loving kindness and grant us thy salvation. Salvation is revival. The glory of God coming down upon a people. Another way of putting it is that revival is the normal Christian life on steroids. If we see a few conversions here and there every year, then that seems to be today the normal Christian life. If we see a few marriages in our churches helped and people restored to one another in their marriages, or parents to their children, then that's wonderful, of course, and we rejoice. But in revival, we see many, many conversions. We see many, many families and marriages reconciled. We see people with severe sin problems change dramatically and very, very quickly in times of revival. Our history and our country is replete with revival. We go back to 1630 when John Winthrop came with the Puritans to Massachusetts Bay. And immediately he preached on the most famous sermon of the second millennium, which was a city on a hill. And it set the stage for the American culture, which was clearly a God-centered, Christ-exalting, man-debasing idea of how we ought to live. And it permeated the entire culture. But by 1690 or 1700, Cotton Mather was able to lament the condition of the world or of our nation at that particular time. And he said that already, after some 60 or 70 years, we were in decline. This decline continued into the 1730s, when eventually in 1735, God did a mighty work of revival in Northampton, Massachusetts, through the preaching of Jonathan Edwards. And Edwards says that somewhere between 10 and 15 people, older people, younger people, men and women, were converted in Northampton every week for about 6 months. One observer said that it seems as though there are no unconverted people left in Northampton. Later on, in 1741, a revival once again came to Northampton and to the Connecticut River Valley. And of course, Edwards preached his famous Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God sermon in Enfield, Connecticut in July of 1741. And George Whitefield was there in 1741. Indeed, God had poured out His Spirit and there was remarkable conversions. We go further into the 1800s. In the early 1800s, there was the so-called Second Awakening. And God used Asahel Nettleton in particular with great power, and others who preached along with him. In 1820, Asahel Nettleton was preaching in New York, near Albany, New York, and God poured out His Spirit in a place where previously there was very little interest in the things of Christ. Unitarianism had come full force into that community. And yet, Hundreds were awakened in over a very short period of time and were soundly converted and changed remarkably by the gospel. We go further into 1859, and Jeremiah Lamphere praying in New York City during a time of economic downturn, and before long there were thousands of men gathered together to pray all over New York City at noontime, asking God for revival. He brought revival, not only in New York, but in Boston and in Philadelphia, then in Charleston, South Carolina, and into the early 1860s in the armies of the Confederacy during the war between the states. This revival, of course, spread to Northern Ireland, into the Glens of Antrim, and into Wales, and into England as well. And later on, there was a great awakening again, another great revival. In 1904 and 1905, the Welsh revival that happened in the United States, and even as late as the 1960s into the early 1970s, there was a mighty movement of God that began on the West Coast and made its way all the way across this nation. I don't know that it would be called an awakening, but clearly there were thousands, if not more, converted during that time period. Our nation's history is one of revival. We must have revival. When you look at our condition now in our country, when you see how far we have gone from where we need to be, then clearly it is clear to us that revival is necessary. When I look at the immorality in our nation, when I look at what's happening in our inner cities, then if God doesn't bring revival, we have no hope. When I speak of revival, I mean thousands, if not millions of conversions. If we don't see these millions of conversions in America, then we will see little progress. We've been fighting for the abolition of abortion since 1973, and little has happened. Nothing's changed, really. Now we have gay marriage. Now we have unbelievable problems in our inner cities with gangs and drug wars and killings and unbelievably cruel treatment of children and molestation and things of this nature are rampant in our culture. And we ought to have legislation, and that's fine to have the legislation. But without revival, none of these things will change. In fact, I would go further to say that when revival comes, these problems will very quickly go away because there will once again be a biblical Christian consensus in our nation. When you look at Revelation chapter 1, you see there the glorified Christ with a robe reaching down to his feet, girded across his breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hair are white like wool, like snow, and his eyes are like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, which are made to glow in a furnace, and his voice is like the sound of many waters, and there's a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And John, when he saw that, fell at Jesus' feet as a dead man. This Lord Jesus Christ, this one who died for us, this one who was raised again for us, this one who intercedes for us, has these eyes as a flame of fire, and he's looking over the church in this country, and he's looking over the church throughout the world, and he says that if you become lukewarm, if you are not hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. He says that to the church at Laodicea and to the church at Ephesus. Because you've left your first love, because you have turned away from me, I will take the lampstand out of its place. What he means by this is our job is to evangelize. Our job is to disciple the nations. If we do not do the work that he's called us to do, then he will take the lampstand, the church, out of this place. He will spit us out of his mouth. He is serious about the work to which God has called us to do. We are to wait in the city as the apostles were for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. We now have that Holy Spirit. It came at Pentecost. He indwells us when we are born again. He empowers us daily as we seek Him. We must have the fullness of the Spirit. We must seek God for this mighty work of revival. Now, what do I mean by revival? Well, I mentioned earlier that it is the normal Christian life on steroids. But I would go further to say that the revival culture is normative for us. What we see in the book of Acts is what we ought to be having in our own day. I'll have more to say about that later. But the revival culture is something that we must have in our day, and it raises the level of Christianity during a revival. In Lamentations 4, Jeremiah, after the Babylonians have taken the people of Judah away into exile, laments, and he says, "How dark the gold has become, how the pure gold has changed. The sacred stones are poured out at the corner of every street. The precious sons of Zion weighed against fine gold. How they are regarded as earthen jars, the work of a potter's hands." He is lamenting the fact that the people have turned away from God, that there is no idea of revival in his day, and he's grieved over what he sees. May God put within us an intolerable burden for revival. Indeed, how dark the gold has become. Many of us can remember 30 or 40 years ago when there was a great movement of God in this nation. We certainly have read about it in the past, and yet it is something of our history. Few of us have ever seen a mighty work of God. Clearly, there are mighty works of God in other parts of the world. In China, for example, still in Africa, in South America, there are mighty movements of God. There are mighty movements of God today in the Muslim world, in Indonesia, and in Iran, and in Algeria. And yet, we don't see it in our day. My friends, if we don't have revival, then we are utterly doomed. Would you seek God for it? Would you ask God to give you an intolerable burden? My friends, until we get this intolerable burden, we will see nothing happen. We can have our church buildings. We can have our plans, our strategies. We can have our own gifts and abilities. But unless the Spirit of God comes down, unless we are earnest in seeking Him for this, nothing will happen. Until we are deeply grieved by what we see, then we will not seek God for this revival. My friends, would you honestly and earnestly seek God for a mighty movement of His Spirit in our day? I'll have much more to say about this in the days and weeks ahead. And my earnest desire is that God would awaken in you and in me a desire to see once again a mighty movement of God in our day. Indeed, would you rend the heavens, O Lord, and come down? Would you show us your glory? Father, we ask that you do this for the glory and praise of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Master. Amen.
If you wish to receive Al Baker's weekly ministry updates and his devotional, forget none of his benefits. Or if you wish to purchase a copy of his book, Seeking a Revival Culture, then contact Rebecca Payton at webmaster@pefministry.org. For more information on Al Baker and his ministries, please go to www.pefministry.org. There you will find a link to Al Baker's sermons, archived Between Two World broadcasts, and his Forget None of His Benefits devotionals. You will also find there Al Baker's preaching schedule for the next several months. Al would love to hear from you.